That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast. Happy Thursday. Hope everyone's having a great day. I know I am because I just am. Because I was born as Jackie O's sister. And really, truly, honestly, who could ask for more in this lifetime, Jax?
That's so sweet. You're low-key always having a great day, except for the days when you're not.
And that's one thing about me. I'm dynamic, and you really never know what to expect.
But you really do always open with optimism and hope for the day. And I think that's a really important message for people.
It's also important to note that when I say I'm having a great day, like, I'm not always having a great day, but, like, this show emulates positivity. If I just got on here and, like, really told everyone what I was thinking,
Oof. No, I understand. It is a great day. It's a beautiful day here. Unfortunately, Turdy and I have been separated just for today's episode because we're doing audio only. I'm taking it a little bit easier this week. I feel like I was doing a lot. And so I was on, like, modified bed rest, and now I'm on, like, more bed rest than before. Everything's okay. I just, like, I felt like I was doing the most and there was literally no need. So we're doing audio only, which won't affect most of you. I think the person who it affects most is Turdy.
No, and, like, one thing about me,
Turdy struggles with audio only.
One thing about me, but today, like, I'm not complaining. Like, the fact that I didn't have to put on makeup and do my hair, I really can't put into words how grateful I am. So don't worry about Turdy. Turdy's fine. You know, it's not even Turdy. It's iTurdy. It's the IT department that lives inside of me that's always like, wait, camera, let me get the studio, the lights, let me bring it to your house. Like, I'm okay. I'm really kind of getting tired of doing the most. Let's be real.
But I do feel like next week you're going to be wanting to be on camera again because you're, like, glam Turdy. You're in your glam era.
Yeah, no, I think everything is still up in the air. I want you to just take it easy. Like, every time you're, like, walking around, it, like, gives me anxiety. Just, like, sit the fuck down. So I'm happy to do audio only. Maybe I'll go into studio next week, like, two or three times with, like, the usual Ben, if he's available, Taylor Strucker, if she's available. But Jackson Claude original recipe, I kind of love you. I don't know why. I'm going to be, like, so, like, really honest right now.
Please. What do you love?
I love doing audio only for one reason. And that's because, sadly, we don't upload to YouTube, but that does mean there's no comment section. So, like, I can say the most fucking out-of-pocket shit, and there's really nowhere for people to, like, gather and be like, we should call Claudia's place of work and tell them what she said.
Yeah, call me up. Call me up and tell her what he said.
If I'm the IT department, you're HR.
For sure. Except we do upload the audio to YouTube, so there is a comment section, but it's not as lively. No, it's not as community oriented as when there's video.
Oh, by the way, that's, like, a new thing we started doing when we started doing audio only, just, like, putting just the audio on YouTube. I totally forgot that there actually is a comment section, and now that I've made this conversation, they're gonna galvanize. All right, I'll reel it in today. I won't say anything so fucking crazy.
Yeah, for sure. Except how it usually goes is that, like, they're calling up my place of work and they're calling you and DMing you being like, the show would be better without Jackie, don't you think?
And I just want to say, like, to everybody who has sent me that message, and it's not a lot of people. First of all, like, seriously, and I mean this, like, from the depths of my soul, go fuck yourself. Like, seriously, go literally fuck yourself. Two, it ain't happening. It ain't happening. It's Jackson Claude till we're 97. So, seriously, go fuck yourself, and then fuck all the way off, you dumb cunts.
I love that for us. Thank you, God, for always having my back. So that's what happens when you call my boss. That's the message you're going to hear.
Yeah, no, I'm not here for the Jack slander. Like, I don't know what they think they're doing, and they think they'll, like, galvanize that. I'll be like, maybe I should get rid of my sister. Like, as if I could even get rid of you. You're, like, older than me. How? Like, let's say I seriously, like, didn't want to work with you anymore. Like, how?
Yeah, no, it would be a really big thing. But also, like, I don't think either one of us could take the toast. Like, if you wanted to stop working with me, like, you'd have to go start a different show.
No, for sure. Like, it's literally, like, call her. Actually, no, call her daddy. Like, one of them took
she
it.
Got
we
the show.
Couldn't. We couldn't take it.
Yeah, we'd be in court for years.
Years and years and years.
Yeah. But speaking of sisters replacing sisters, yesterday Satchel stood in for me. I had a doctor's appointment yesterday, so I was, like, in the waiting room just, like, listening to the episode, just, like, being a toaster, which was really fun. But I didn't get to finish, like, what's going on with the Satch. Let's recap Satch's episode.
Recatchel. I mean, honestly, it was everything. Like, it was just more downtime with Satch. She looked so cool. If you watched on YouTube, you saw she, like, showed up in a cool girl outfit.
I saw.
Louévé tank top. Like,
she's in
cool
her classy
jeans.
Era. And I just want to say, like, I wish one day I can go and kiss Sophia Richie Grainge on the mouth for inspiring these former thoughts to look classy. My so sister right. included.
You're so right. Like, now, like the cool girls are dressing elegant. They're dressing a little modest.
They're
it's
dressing
nice.
Like granny. They're wearing trousers. They're wearing cardigans. They're wearing flats. Like, it's a beautiful thing to see.
No, it's really like a full circle moment. You're so right that, like, we have Sophia Richie to thank for the unthoughtification of the Satchler.
The unthoughtification of America.
Of Gen Z, honestly.
And I think it's going to be, like, a slow rollout. It's just starting. But, like, you even saw Kylie wearing, like, her classy silhouettes. I think this is the beginning of a beautiful trend that is positively impacting my eyeballs.
Our family.
And our family.
No, you're so right, Jax. I like that analysis.
I saw what Snitch wore to dinner last night. She was wearing, like, the Spanx trousers that you and I have loved, but, like, we're old women.
Mm-hmm.
And a cardigan. And flats, and she just looks so classy.
Yeah, I feel like I love this, like, even for my own personal style, like, this very kind of coastal grandmother, like, rich older woman aesthetic, I love. And I feel like older chubby girls have been dressing that way forever for a multitude of reasons. But now that it's, like, in trend, it's fabulous.
Yeah, it's really fabulous. Like, a little mystery. I don't need to see butt cheek on the street.
Yeah.
Chunks of cheek.
Chunks
I don't
of
need
cheek.
It.
You don't.
I don't need it.
Well, we have a fabulous show today because it's just, like, me and you. And it's me and you, and that's my whole world. They whisper down the hallway, she's a bad, bad girl.
Okay.
But I also have so much TV to recap. We're obviously going to do the Vanderpump Rules Part 2 reunion at the TV recap at the end of the show. We do have a story about Ted Lasso, yes?
We do.
So I'll give my thoughts because I watched the finale last night, and you can take your AirPods out because obviously I am going to spoil it.
That's fine. I will watch eventually. I'm in no rush. And I'm also, like, not watching Ted Lasso for the riveting plot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not like Game of Thrones.
But yesterday I watched, you did too.
Yeah.
Actually, when I was at the Eras concert with Paige DeSorbo, she was the one who was like, we were talking about TV. And she was like, you should watch the Smartless podcast. And I was like, no, it's, like, not my podcast. She's like, no, they did, like, a documentary on HBO. Like a TV show of their podcast tour. So I was like, oh, that actually does sound interesting. And it's so crazy how I literally know nothing about Smartless, even though they're the biggest podcast, literally the biggest comedy podcast for sure. And, like, we're honestly, I think of them as our peers, our competitors. I knew nothing about them. Literally.
Yeah.
I might have been able to tell you who the three guys are, but maybe
I couldn't
not.
Have told you. I might have been able to say Jason Bateman.
And I think I would have said Will Arnett. And I think I might have said even the guy from Will and Grace, but I wouldn't have known his name.
I still don't know his name other than Sean.
Sean Hayes, I think.
Sean Hayes, yeah, that sounds right.
I found it so interesting. I will say, like, their comedy, like, their shtick, they have a huge audience. I don't think it's, like, my necessarily type of comedy, so I did find it, like, a little repetitive, just a little bit. But I found, like, the neuroses of so many of these, like, older successful men, like, who have to travel and have their meals together and like, drive in long car rides together. I found it really interesting. Like, who knew Jason Bateman was literally, like, an almond mom?
Literally,
like, with his
literally
salads
and, like, he had his big salad for dinner and the other guys got steaks, and then he's up all night, like, eating skinny pop and prunes, and that's just because he's not full from his salad. It's like, if you just had a steak like the other guys, like, you wouldn't be snacking all night.
Jason definitely has like some sort of disordered eating. So it's honestly, I feel like food and meals occupy all of my time. Like I'm always thinking about, what am I eating? What did I just eat? Did I eat too much? Did I not eat enough? They take it to another level. And I do think it's part of their shtick, but I think at least for Jason, like it is so real.
Yeah, no, they're always talking about their next meal, their past meal, their current meal, and they're planning their next meal while they're eating their current meal, which is so relatable. Like, that's us. That's literally the Good Guys podcast.
Yeah.
I just, like, wouldn't have expected it from the three of them, who just seem like tall glasses of water.
Totally.
Who just, like, eat when they're hungry and then don't eat when they're not hungry.
No, completely. It was eye-opening. It was very funny. I don't understand the black and white style choice. I thought once they got on stage, it would be like in color and it's like the documentary really starts. I'm not like living for black and white, but that's just because I'm like toxically modern. Like we have color TV. Why would we not use it?
It's unnecessary.
Yeah.
But I agree. It's a really cool concept, especially for podcasters like us to watch them do their thing and like to see the success that they're having. But one thing that I thought was silly is like they're staying in like these amazing hotels and they're flying private and the crowds are so big and they're acting like this is their first taste of fame. And it's like they are on some of the biggest shows in television history. Like I can't imagine that this podcast success is like more than anything they've ever experienced before.
Wait, not me just realizing that Will Arnett and Jason Bateman were on Arrested Development together. That's how they know each other.
Yeah.
I totally forgot.
But like Jason Bateman, like he's in Ozark, which obviously I don't watch, but Zach does. So it's a big one.
And it's really big. It's like, it's probably one of his biggest projects.
Yeah. They're all really big. So like this, they're like oohing and awing over all these things. I'm like, you've been at this level of success for like 20 years.
No. And something I found really interesting was as somebody who like goes on tour and knows the logistics of like money. I don't know how after they fly private, they stay in the presidential suite everywhere they go. They have literally 15 people who work for them. Mm-hmm. Margarita, who's always running out to get Gas X and sugar-free Red Bull. And then they split the revenue three ways. They made no money from this tour, but they made money from this documentary.
Yes, I thought the same thing.
Like, that's not how comedians or podcasters travel. Even comedians and podcasters who play huge theaters, which they're doing.
Yeah, theaters, no. You know, if it's stadiums, arenas, yes. But the size theaters that they're doing just, like, based on the numbers, it kind of doesn't add up.
No, and, like, okay, if they're doing theaters like that, like, I feel like let me think of a comedian, like honestly, like a Jim Gaffigan would go to DC and play that theater every night for a week, and then he can fly private because it makes sense financially. I was just like so focused on the finances. They travel in style, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when you think about all the people they're paying to be on the tour with them, and then they're splitting all the revenue three ways, and then flying private, and like there's a million vans for everyone. I don't know. Something wasn't adding up financially.
Yeah, so maybe it's not like a financial exercise for them, and more of, I have no idea what. Well,
I think also there, I was really thinking a lot about this because I'm so interested in the business of podcasting. I believe their podcast is like owned, or their deal is with Wondery, which is owned by Amazon. And I'm sure that when they did that deal, they got a payout of, you know, six, maybe seven figures that they all split. So maybe like Amazon paid for the tour. I don't know. But then why wouldn't their show be on Amazon?
Wondery shows aren't exclusive to Amazon.
No. But they do all like the distribution and sales.
They're this new show. I thought you meant their podcast. Good question. But also like there are so many questions. Maybe Amazon like got them a plane.
Yeah.
But even if Amazon owns their podcast, do they then collect the revenue from their live show?
I don't know. We'd have to look at their deal points. I'm just fascinated by this whole
thing.
And also,
like,
honestly,
the revenue for the theater size that we saw, like,
that was probably, like in that DC theater. How many seats do you think that was?
They probably make more money from one episode of ads. Duh. On SmartLess.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, maybe this is, like, some sort of branding thing for them.
Well, honestly, why I really liked it is I feel like it's so legitimized podcasting and podcast touring, like to get like a whole ass HBO documentary, like that's so legit.
Yeah, no, it was cool.
Yeah. And then yesterday, also in terms of content, I just wanted to shout out our last episode that we just posted on Patreon. It went up yesterday. Is something I've been asked to do many times that I just like I'm kind of ashamed of. But yesterday I was just like, fuck it, we're posting it. I did a literal, you know, what do they call it?
Guide.
guide, but like, you know, those yellow books, like for dummies. Oh, smut for dummies. I'm always getting asked, like, A, just about smut recommendations. Like, how do you get into smut? What are your favorite, like, sexy books? How do you know when they're good? Which authors are good? So I did like a breakdown of all the smut books I've read, most of the ones that I've read. I didn't get into Colleen Hoover because I felt like that was like a little too basic. Everyone knows.
Yeah,
everyone And that's really not smut. Once you actually get into smut, like, you see Colleen's like doing the least when it comes to the smut. So I gave like a full breakdown with like pictures, book covers, ratings in terms of plot, ratings in terms of smut. People are loving it. They're saying like, really, that I'm out here doing the Lord's work. And they were like, you know, just really grateful that I did this. So patreon.com/thetoast for Turdy's Guide to Smut.
Turdy's Guide to Smut. I love that. I actually have two book things to say. One, new episode of The Redheads dropped today. It's the first Thursday in June. Our new episode dropped. We recorded it last week, so I've been like sitting on it for a week, and I've actually been really excited because it's such a fun, funny episode. This book just gave us so much to chat and laugh about, you know, a lot of loose ends, but also beautiful moments. Like, it was just really sweet. And also, not to spoil the end of the episode, but Becky is choosing our next book, mm-hmm. and she told us how she chose it, and I think it's like a life hack that everyone needs to know. She used AI. She put into AI like books that she loves, and she was like, recommend similar books. So we're reading True Biz by Sarah Novick next, but like, she had put in like Where the Crawdads Sing, like those really good like literary novels.
That's so smart.
That are also like really popular. So that's where you should get your next book recommendation from.
Well, let me see if the redheads get fucked. Like, let's see if everybody likes his book first, and then if it worked, oh my god, I'm never not doing that.
Isn't that genius?
Because I'm always like, give me a book that's like, It Ends With Us or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I'm always like asking for book recommendations based on a previous book. So if I say, like, literally when people ask like what my real like genre of choice is, like, I loved Eliza Starts a Rumor. It was like just life, you know, suburban mom, dumb drama, but like hilarious. And I'm always like, what's a book like Eliza Starts a Rumor?
Ask ChatGPT.
That is really a very, very smart thing. Go Bex.
Go Bex. And then also, I finished my book last night, The May Cobb, My Summer Darlings. I need you to finish it because I need to talk to you about it. Okay. Like, I don't know if I'm just being like
negative,
critical. Oh. Or because I remember after I finished Hunting Wives, like, I didn't love it so much, but then you loved it so much, it made me like it more. Mm-hmm. So I need to know what you think about this one.
Okay, I have started it. So hopefully I'll finish it this weekend and we can talk about it.
Cool. Can't wait to chat with my girly.
And speaking of chatting with our garlies, we've got lots to dive into. I can't wait to talk about the Vanderpump Reunion. So
without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And today's episode is brought to you by The Kardashians on Hulu. You can watch the all-new season of The Kardashians. New episodes are dropping Thursdays only on Hulu. The world's most famous matriarchy is back for the most intimate look yet inside the family empire. So this season, we know a lot of what's going to go down. It seems really juicy, and they're really doing a good job of striking a balance between their extremely successful lives as business women, but also their very real personal lives that are just weirdly a part of their business. So there's going to be a lot of entrepreneurship, sibling rivalry, newfound love, ooh, hopefully a businessman beau in the mix, family growth, juggling business, motherhood, family, and more. We already got the first episode, or do we get two episodes already now?
Episode 2 dropped last night.
Oh my god, okay, so I'll catch up on that tonight before tomorrow. So two episodes in, there's you know, a thunder is a brewing. Something is brewing between the girlies, specifically Courtney and Kim, and I can't wait to see how that unfolds. I just can't wait to see all the girlies back. You know, we've got them all. We've got Chris, we've got Courtney, we've got Kim, we've got Chloe, as Andy Cohen likes to call her, Kendall and Kylie. I love this show. It's just a good vibe show. It's really fun to watch. I love seeing the sisters. They're so fabulous. I just love seeing like their homes and their cars and their planes. Even the most boring episode of The Kardashians is better than literally any episode of any other reality TV show. So don't miss season 3 of The Kardashians. New episodes drop Thursdays only on Hulu. If you're waiting up, then you guys already saw it last night because it comes out on Wednesday nights at midnight. I haven't seen it yet. I'm really excited to see it, but make sure you're catching season 3 of The Kardashians. New episodes are dropping Thursdays only on Hulu. Today's episode is also brought to you by OneSkin. Have you ever thought to yourself, What if we could reverse the root cause of aging? Then listen closely. Our new sponsor, OneSkin, puts science and research first. They were founded by a team of four female PhD-level longevity scientists with over 15 years of experience. OneSkin set out to not just decrease the visible signs of aging skin, but to treat the root causes of why skin ages. So their essential face moisturizer, their eye topical supplement to firm, and their topical body supplement keep your body moisturized so skin doesn't just look younger and healthier, it functions like younger and healthier looking skin. I have to say, I love their topical body supplement. I feel like everyone's always talking about like skin aging on their face for sure. But especially because I have like heavy set chest, my neck and like décolletage area, I'm so conscious of when it comes to aging. I don't want like wrinkles or fine lines. So I love that they have a product for that, the topical body supplement. I've been using it. I love it. Their products are formulated with their OS-01 peptide as the primary active ingredient, so it supports the skin ability to resist the effects of intrinsic and extrinsic aging factors. Their flagship product, the OS-01 Face, is clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier, and it improves key skin health markers, meaning signs of aging are significantly diminished. For a limited time, you can get 15% off OneSkin with our code TOAST at oneskin.co. They're the world's first skin longevity company. They address skin health at the molecular level, targeting the root causes of aging, so skin behaves, feels, and appears younger. It's time to get started with your new face, eye, and body routine at a discounted rate today. Get 15% off with the code TOAST at oneskin.co. That's 15% off with OneSkin at oneskin.co. That code is TOAST. We only have one body, one skin, and only you can choose to make it better. Age healthy with OneSkin.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Our first story, news that I never thought I would report, Sex and the City, shocker. Kim Cattrall will be returning as Samantha Jones to And Just Like That. For one night only, the Sex and the City universe will be whole again. Variety has learned that Kim Cattrall will reprise her iconic role as Samantha Jones in the season 2 finale of And Just Like That. The title will just like never roll off the tongue.
Ever, ever, ever.
She will only appear in one scene. According to sources, she shot her dialogue on March 22nd in New York City without seeing or speaking with the star of the series, the stars, including Sarah Jessica Parker, or with the showrunner, Michael Patrick King. In the scene, she has moved to London and she'll have a phone conversation with Carrie. And so she didn't really have to interface with anyone, but we are getting some Samantha.
So I will say this news like sounds better than it is. Because once you actually read it, you know she's not actually filming with the women. It's a phone call. It's in the finale, and it's one scene. So it sounds better than it is. Having said that, like, I welcome this. Hopefully this is, like, an intro, because I watched all of And Just Like That. And I have to say, like, I'm a hater to my core, and it was cringe. It was problematic. Like, it had all these things. But at the end of the day, like, I did like it. Like, I looked forward to the episodes. Like, there's just something about the writing. There's something about these characters. It's good. Like, I'm sorry. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I liked it, okay? And I feel like I don't want to keep that in anymore.
So you're saying because you like it.
It's exactly what I'm saying, Jackie. But there was this, like, glaringly obvious thing missing. And it was Samantha. She was far and away the best character. She was so fucking real. Like, she was just saying shit nobody would say, but she was fucking right about everything. Like, she was so sorely missed. So getting her back is great. Again, it's really not getting her back. She's not going to be a recurring role. It's one cameo. She doesn't even interact with the other ladies. But I think it's a step in the right direction. And for her, I mean, best of both worlds. Like, she's getting a huge payday, because it's the only way they would have brought her back. She fucking hates these people. And she doesn't have to see these bitches. So, like, for her, she's laughing, running to the bank. And honestly, I think her kind of being, like, mysteriously absent from this revamp, whatever you want to call it, reunion show, whatever it's called, is so good for her and her character, because it just makes people appreciate and miss her, honestly.
Yeah, I think this is all good. Of course, one scene, it's not enough. Give us more. I don't even watch the show. But and she's a part of the reason. Like, I don't think I would watch even still. Like, it's just not of the utmost importance to me, but, like, certainly not without Samantha, because she really was the best. Yeah. But I do feel like, one, like, now contracts have been signed and doors are open, and it would be easier to do another scene. And I feel like, who knows what happens in that finale conversation? It could be like a cliffhanger that gets us to season 3, where Samantha's back. You know what I mean?
Well, in season 1, Carrie and Samantha were texting. So Samantha wasn't, like, dead. Like, she was still, like, technically in the show, but we never saw her because she was just texting with Carrie.
Right. No, but, like, the fact that Kim is on the scene. Like, this could be, it could be just what it is, one scene, but it could also be opening the door for season three with Samantha.
Yeah, but I'm saying in season one with the text messages, like, it was all very cliffhangery. They were like, we'll see, wishing you
well.
Right,
but there was no actual Kim participation.
No.
Now that we have Kim participation, it opens the door to more.
Yeah. What I think is also,
that's exciting.
It is. What I also think is interesting about this show is, like, they are unable to keep anything under wraps. That's A, because they film in New York, so, like, people are just always seeing, like, new characters show up. Like, they're unable, and I feel like HBO is so good at that, like, with, you know, the ending of Game of Thrones. Like, I don't, it's obvious, I think partially is intentional. It's good for, like, the show hype. But this would have been, like, a huge, amazing spoiler.
Yeah, but I feel like they're intentionally putting stuff out. I don't know about this one, but, like, they put out the picture of Carrie and Aiden kissing. I also think over the years they've filmed fake scenes to throw people off.
Yeah.
So they're kind of... But
I guess that's also what's great about the show. Like, it's so New York. They literally, they've never filmed on, like, a studio lot. Like, they're always in the streets. And that really is what makes it, like, so authentically New York. And I think that's, like, a huge reason why people like it.
Yeah, but they could also be having, like, pivotal conversations and scenes, like,
indoors. Yeah. Would it kill you to close a window?
But I think that they like this hype machine. Like, you know, Game of Thrones doesn't need that. Like, oh, Bran was spotted sitting on the throne. What does it
literally
mean? But for this show, like, it is very much a part of the zeitgeist for people to speculate about what's going to happen. So I think that they're in on that.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. It's just interesting.
But I did hear Bran was spotted sitting on the throne.
I heard that, too.
Being fed grapes, like a little mad king.
No, I heard he was at the pub making deals. Wheeling and dealing.
Yeah. He was like knocking him back with the Night King.
Knocking him back with the Night King. Literally.
Okay, well, are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
It's a yawn for me, but I think people care. Leonardo DiCaprio dined with 28-year-old British model Neelam Gill and his mom. Yeah. So Leo took a break from partying to enjoy a night out with a group of pals, including British model Neelam Gill and his mom. In photos obtained by Page Six, he could be seen keeping a low profile as he left the Chiltern Firehouse in London on Tuesday. His mom was also exiting the venue with him while Neelam Gill followed behind.
I mean, that's just fucking weird. Like, literally, his mom could be literally this girl's grandmother.
Yeah.
They literally look like a family, three generations of DiCaprio's. Grandmother, son, and daughter. And,
yeah. I guess that means that he's dating this person. Because, like, all signs point to. But I feel like every single week it's someone else that he's dating. The same, like, literally this age.
Yeah.
And, okay, cool.
You know, this story is, like, so fatigued. I'm not, like, you know, being kept up. Like, who's Leo spotted with? It was interesting when he was spotted with Gigi Hadid because that was different. That was, like, somebody who is a mother and has, like, a successful business and, like, doesn't need Leo. There's not, like, a power dynamic. That was interesting. But beyond that, like, just this gaggle of carbon copies of different – like, it's just – it's so uninteresting to me. It's so uninspired.
Yeah. He also goes out now all the time in a hat and a face mask. I think he was at, like, a – sports game wearing a mask, and now he's at this restaurant. I don't know if he does it for, like, anonymity, but, like, it's not working.
He definitely does it for anonymity, and I just want to say he seems to care about the environment so much. Masks are so bad for the environment. I'm just saying.
Trills.
Greta would definitely be wearing, like, a reusable cloth. He's wearing these, like, disposable plastic lined ones.
Right, but the thing about the reusable cloth is that actually does nothing, so we might as well breathe fresh, clean air.
That's true. I mean, I honestly don't think Leo, if he's running to, like, events and games, I don't think he's, like, really still concerned with the pandemic. I think this is definitely, like, an anonymity thing.
Yeah, but it's, like, not fucking working. Like, the camera is in his face.
Yeah. No, like, they're going to photograph you whether you're wearing a mask or not. So maybe he's feeling insecure. That's
maybe
relatable.
Maybe he got, like, a nose job.
Lip filler.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's, you're onto something there, sister.
That, to me, like, would be more understandable than whatever I'm looking at.
That is definitely a possibility. Leo went under the knife. Leo was feeling insecure. Maybe Leo's nose has been bothering him his whole life and he finally just, like, took charge.
Yeah. Or he had a deviated septum.
Sure.
Are you ready for our next story, which is also some new rumored couple news?
Sure.
Erica Jane has been spotted with an older gentleman who's also married. Then just posted on Instagram like a photo of him and his wife.
He's married.
He's married, but he filed for like a separation in 2021.
Oh.
Or they were, anyways, Erica Jane was spotted on a quote unquote date earlier this week, but it didn't look necessarily like a date. They were in Caesar's Palace walking around. She looked fire flames. Like,
yeah.
She definitely looked like she wasn't not trying, but it could also be a couple of friends. But a rep confirmed to Us Weekly that they're not dating, that Jim is her lawyer and family friend for over 20 years.
Oh.
He's been her primary attorney for some time now. He said, I'm trying to help my friend and people want to see something nefarious in that and they want to impose a sexual relationship. I don't want to see anything nefarious, but like, what are you doing in Vegas with your lawyer?
Well, she is doing a residency in Vegas.
True.
So she has like a work thing. Maybe he came to support. Like, I see my lawyer all the time. Like, I think this could have been a date, but them explaining like he's a family friend and a lawyer, and honestly, that's more than enough for me. I think a lot of people see her with an older gentleman and assume she's like looking for her next Tom Girardi.
And we get our hopes up.
Who isn't? But
I know that's kind of I'm honestly like acknowledging like my own bias right now and how much like I want this to be true, and it's just not.
No, I mean, let's just be real. Like, we saw Erica's life with Tom and we saw Erica's life without Tom. Like, they're different. And I'm sure she wants to get back to that place. Like, she wants a palace with a chapel. Like, she has a certain standard of living. And her little bungalow in West Hollywood, like, it's nice, but I don't think it's going to cut it forever.
But I also, yes, like, you want to see her get back to the things that she loves. But I also do really envision her with kind of an older man and not some of these like boy toys that I imagine she's like running around with. Like, I think she needs someone who can be on her level. She's very smart and mature and sophisticated. And like, so when I see her with someone who's like a successful, mature
king,
I'm like, that works for me.
Yeah, no, if the day comes where Erica Jane does settle down, like, I'm fully picturing a Tom 2.0. I'm not looking for, like,
maybe like
some
a
Silicon
little,
Valley billionaire, young hotshot.
A little younger. Yeah, not some, like, not an Instagram model Love Island contestant.
No, she definitely has a type. And I will say, like, obviously her and Tom's marriage was a marriage of convenience. But I do, and I did, and I still do really think, like, when it was good, like, I think she really did love him. I don't think it was, you know, like, a complete arrangement.
Yeah, at least from her book, like, I was convinced.
What did she say in the book?
She had only the nicest things to say. I mean, obviously, he was still her husband, but just, like, the way that he took care of her and protected her and was so smart and gave her advice. Like, all of those things were why she was so attracted to him as an older gentleman.
That's nice.
Yeah. Also, she's 51 now, so, like, if she's going to go with someone her age or older, like, that is going to be a 60-year-old gentleman.
Yeah,
so no, when I see her with a silver fox, I'm like, that could be – he could be the one.
No, in my mind, she's, like, such a, like, a reality star, influencer, pop star. I feel like she's 32. But she's, like – she's a woman. She's an older woman.
Yeah. Well, she looked sickening just walking around Caesar's Palace. Did you see the outfit?
I did. She's been, like, slaying the looks.
Yeah.
She looks great. Slaying. I feel like she's in a really good place. Like, this whole thing is now, like, officially behind her. And I feel like in this upcoming season when she's filming, like, it's no longer a conversation. Like, I think she's really out of it.
Yeah, which is so crazy.
And that
so
must
crazy.
Be the best feeling in the world for something that probably kept her up at night for 2 years straight.
Yeah, and also, like, she couldn't really have a voice on the show outside of defending that. Herself and talking about all the allegations. And, like, she's weathered this storm. And I'm excited for her to just be herself again and live her life and be the Erica that we know and love.
I agree. Because, I feel like I even forget, like, pre-divorce Erica, like, she was everything. And then she kind of became the worst. But, like, she was loud. She was going through a hard time. So I'm ready for her to, like, be the best again. Like, sniper from the side.
Yeah. No, and I definitely, like, in the last few years have faltered in my stanhood.
Same.
But I'm tabula rasa-ing. I'm not, like, going back. Like, you know, it's a constant involving thing. But now I do feel like with all the legal stuff behind her, like, tabula rasa. I look forward to the future.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Tabula rasa. What does that mean? Clean table?
Clean slate.
Clean slate.
Yeah. Latin.
I'm also definitely, like, interested in what's happening in Beverly Hills. I feel like it's awfully quiet.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. I saw, like, a meme or a tweet that was like, this is the first season that we have no idea what's going on in Beverly Hills. It's also the first season without Rinna.
Yeah.
In a while.
Right. So the question is, was Rinna just, like, leaking everything? Or is there nothing going on without Rinna?
I think Rinna was leaking everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the obvious answer.
Because I think things are, like, something's going on. Even if it's not, you know, Kathy Hilton having a breakdown in the club, like,
right.
There's things.
You know, for the last, like, three or four seasons, like, we always know what's going to happen because it gets, like, we're always talking about it while they're filming it, and it's like a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's very interesting. You know what it is? Interessant.
It's interessant. I agree.
I think it's interessant.
Another interessant factoid is our next story.
Yep.
So the Succession ending that we didn't see, Jeremy Strong, who plays Kendall Roy, revealed the, quote, explosive show had a shocking alternate finale that he improvised. So the headline is like so overhyped. Of course he did. Just listen, like, I can't with this story. Succession star Jeremy Strong has revealed a shock alternate ending to the show, which concluded in spectacular style on Sunday. The actor who plays Kendall Roy spoke to Kara Swisher on the official Succession podcast about his improvisation of his character's final scene, in which he attempted to jump into the river, unbeknownst to cast and crew. So Kendall had his dreams crushed when Shiv stopped him from becoming CEO. Jeremy, who has spoken in the past about his method acting, revealed he actually climbed the railings to inch his way into the water before he was saved by Colin, his minder, who was previously his father's driver. He said, quote, I stood up and walked slowly to the barrier that was set up there and climbed over it. And I didn't really know what I planned to do. And the actor playing Colin saw me and ran and stopped me from doing it.
So I have to say, I don't think that would have been a terrible ending. And I definitely thought when he was like walking so depressed by the water, I'm like, what is he going to do? Because we saw him like two seasons ago, like really struggling mental health wise. I think he like tried to drown himself or something. Like there is that history. So not only do I think that wouldn't have been a bad like ending, I think it would have been on track. I thought it was going to happen.
Yeah, I think it would just have been like more overt.
Yeah.
For the show, you know, where nothing like really happens. Also, he didn't jump in. It was just be like Colin bringing him down, which is actually so Kendall.
And so Colin.
But then Jeremy said, I mean, I'm sure Jesse's choice is better, like the choice not to air that. And in a way, I think you see the intentionality in the character. I mean, you said you felt like he was going to go in.
Right.
And I did. I tried to. It's a completely tragic ending from my perspective. I think that Jesse maybe intended that in the writing, this sense that Kendall has lost, but maybe he's free.
Right. Like with everyone's ending, like we're supposed to extrapolate what happens next. Like Roman is sitting at the bar getting wasted. Like that's obviously the path he goes down. Kendall is like wandering around aimlessly in the middle of the day, like by cliffs. And you're like, yeah, for sure. Like you're supposed to just assume.
Yeah, but I actually don't think it's in Kendall's character to actually go through with it.
No.
Right. But also, I've been seeing some stuff about Roman's ending. Like, mm-hmm. One, he ordered a martini, which is Jerry's drink, whatever that means.
Oh.
And two, like, he sips it, and he smiles for a second, and then he's, like, somber again. So everyone said we should give him an Emmy for that.
I'm dead.
Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, that's what the tweets were. And so I know he's, like, happy. He's not unhappy with the situation.
I have to say, Succession Twitter is one of the most deeply unwell spaces and corners of the internet. Like people it's a good show. It's not even a good show, but like they take it so fucking serious, and they love, this is like the new thing that I've seen, because I've just seen people saying this about Ted Lasso, because there's like a lot of people saying this season of Ted Lasso like kind of stinks. Like you were saying it, but Rolling Stone just wrote, like,
critics are saying it. Yeah, I say it about everything.
Right. No, we are like haters to our core. But like when other people say it, we're like, oh yeah, okay. And everyone is like, people just don't get it. Like, they don't get Succession. Like, oh, you don't like Ted Lasso? You don't get it. Which is my, like, the most fucking condescending retort to, like, my opinion. Like, I'm allowed to have my fucking opinion. Fuck off. And you know what? It's TV. It's not mathematics. Like, if you have to get it so hard, maybe, just maybe, it's not fucking good.
Yeah. Facts. And, like, I got season one and season two.
Right. So, like, what changed?
So is season three is just like above my pay grade?
Yeah, right. Like, am I getting dumber, or is the show just not good? Like,
show getting dumber?
I hate that retort. It's so, first of all, incorrect. And it's so, like, moral high ground. Like, oh, you don't gotta. You're so dumb. Shut the fuck up.
So true. Also, something I wanted to talk about was Succession, because everyone's talking about the finale, and I sent you this article, that the Succession finale had the highest rating views ever for their show, series high, of 2.9 million viewers. The right. way that people talk about this show, like, you would think it's, like, the Super Bowl.
How many people watch, like, the finale of Game of Thrones?
I think, like, 20 million.
Damn.
Let me Google it. People watch.
By the way, like, that's, by the way, 2.8 million. That's literally how many people watch Vanderpump Rules.
No, literally. It's, oh, yeah, Game of Thrones was 19.3 million.
Wow.
More people, I think, watch American Idol than Succession, but you would never know it from the way it's talked about.
No, because it's so, like, highbrow. Like, how many people watch Yellowstone?
I think 14 million.
Oh.
But, right, like, you would think, the way people talk about both of these shows, like, you would think, like, oh, Succession probably has, like, a little bit of a bigger audience than Yellowstone.
No, you would think it's just one of the greats. Like, one of the shows, like, we're still talking about Game of Thrones. Like, it's a show in, like, the TV Hall of Fame.
12 million people tuned in for the premiere of season 5 of Yellowstone.
Wow. And so if and when it ends, that'll be even more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just yeah.
Interesting factoids.
I just find it interesting.
Yeah. But I'm not going to knock Succession because they gave me the best outcome I could have asked for.
No, and really, I do think it was the only way the outcome, like, could have ended. Like, when you really think about it. Like, Mattson was never keeping this family in the business. Like, they're so toxic. He saw the worst of them when they went on their retreat. Like, they're three deeply unwell people. Like, who the fuck would meet them and be like, yeah, I want to give business to these people? Like, I would run for the fucking hills.
Yeah.
And then the concept that all three kids could get along long enough to, like, vote together is also impossible.
It's so crazy to think about that, like, they couldn't.
No, and, like, that's what we've been seeing. Like, they're so, they betray one another at, like, the lowest level. Like, they're not a family unit. They're not a united front. So the sheer idea that they would vote together, they're all too narcissistic, too egotistical. Like, it was never going to happen. It had to be Tom. It's the same way it had to be Bran. It had to be Tom.
It could only be Bran.
It could only be Tom.
Yeah.
And, like, people didn't like the Game of Thrones finale because they're like, Bran. But then when you really analyze it, like, it could only be Bran.
I guess. Because the other two were too problematic, Jon and Daenerys.
Right. Well, and Daenerys at that point, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert, was dead.
No, we literally spoiled the show saying Bran, Bran, Bran.
Oh, right, 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 right.
We spoiled the show 40 minutes ago.
Duh.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story? Another spoiler coming your way.
No.
Why?
Is it the next story with another spoiler coming your way that happens to be brought to you by Carrie Uma?
Carrie Uma. Uma, Uma, Uma. Uma. Carrie Uma. Carrie Uma.
The cool sustainable sneaker company made for life on and off the board. Warmer days are ahead and we all need a staple shoe to carry us through summer and beyond. So when it comes to days spent in the sunshine and on your feet, Carrie Uma's got you covered with effortless style, unmatched comfort, and premium quality. Worn by tons of celebs, including Jackson Claude, which is really kind of like the most famous people in the planet, I would say. So Jackson and I have a bunch of sneakers from Carrie Uma. I pretty much exclusively wear sneakers, especially white ones in the summer. I just think it's like such a cool look. And I like the Carrie Uma ones for a multitude of reasons, mostly because they're really breathable and they're super comfortable. You can wear them for long periods of time. We've loved the lace-up OCA for years, but now Carrie Uma recently launched canvas slip-ons. They're made with organic cotton and natural rubber outsoles. They're easy to wear, and they have a timeless look with incredible comfort and ease. Jackie loves, loves, loves a canvas slip-on shoe.
It's true. All you have to do is watch the last 30 episodes of The Toast on YouTube. I'm wearing my Carrie Umas every single day. They're so cute. A slide-on sneaker. I like the white pair. And they're so comfortable. They have the support that you need just in life in general, but also for a pregnant lady.
For every pair of sneakers sold, Carrie Uma plants 2 trees, and they've already planted over 2 million trees to date. They're dedicated and certified B Corp for restoration programs based in the Brazilian rainforest. So you know that it's all good. For a limited time, Toast listeners can get an exclusive 15% off your pair of Cariuma sneakers. Go to cariuma.com/toast for 15% off. That's cariuma.com/toast for 15% off, but only for a limited time. Today's episode is also brought to you by Manscaped. Ladies, June is just around the corner, and our guess is that you haven't purchased a Father's Day gift. Well, look no further than the sponsor of today's show, because our friends at Manscaped are dedicated to upgrading his grooming game from face to waist. Their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit is the total package dedicated to making sure all fathers go from dad to daddy this year. Have him join the 8 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, and of course, you can get 20% off and free shipping with our code TOAST at manscaped.com. So Father's Day is coming up, whether, you know, your man's is a father or your dad, get a good gift. Get them something that they'll actually use and you will actually love. So the ultimate Father's Day MVP is the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Inside, they have their Beard Hedger Trimmer, Beard Shampoo and Conditioner, Beard Oil, Beard Balm, and two free gifts with their signature beard comb and scissors. So you just buy the one kit and you get like, what did I just read? Like six gifts. It's everything that they could need. It comes in a really cute case. If he doesn't have a beard, he also can try their Performance Package 4.0. So it's a bundle that's definitely daddy material. It includes their signature lawnmower, a weed whacker, ear, hair, and nose trimmer, crop preserver ball deodorant, revival toner, boxer briefs, and the travel bag. We all know that dads love comfort, so if grooming is already dialed in, make sure to hook him up with the Manscaped boxers. Get 20% off and free shipping with code TOAST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Code TOAST. Make this Father's Day one he won't forget with Manscaped.
Thank you so much, Claudia. Speaking of beard, our fifth and final story, Ted Lasso finale, Jason Sudeikis speaks on it. He says, quote, "The story is done." So season three of Ted Lasso just ended. All the episodes aired. Turdy has watched them. Jason Sudeikis told Dana Carvey and David Spade on the Fly on the Wall podcast that the story is done, quote, "It sounds like such a political answer, but it's the truth. We only conceived these three seasons. Then this thing became this big old thing."
Yeah, no, I think if you watch the show, like there's, as much as I think a lot of people would like for it to just go on forever, because I think for a lot of people it's a comfort show. It's like, you know, really all about like kindness and positivity, but it's still like very funny, and it would have been nice for just the show to go on forever. But they clearly like had a start and an end. And I think when you can end a show on your own terms, it's like the best feeling, and you're not like another season and no one's watching. Like to end on a high is like such an accomplishment. And I think if you had told me last season that the next season is going to be the last, I would have been sad. But after watching this, like, I didn't think it was as good. And he's right. Like, the story's over. Like, once you watch, you know, like, the show can't go on.
Yeah, and you'd never want to beat a dead horse. I think that even though it's hard for the fans sometimes, like, there's nothing worse than your favorite show getting really bad and stupid and pointless and boring. Literally. So you better, like, leave on a high, leave them wanting more. And it also does, not that they've said this in any way, shape, or form, but it does leave it open to bring the show back in a few years when you don't kill it.
Yeah, yeah.
So how was the rest of the season? Like, do you want to tell us what happened? Anything crazy?
Do you want to take your AirPods out?
I don't know. I just, like, I don't know that I'm going to watch it in a timely manner.
Okay, so, you know, have you seen any of this season?
Yeah.
What have you seen?
Probably, like, half. They have that guy who's great.
Who?
The soccer player who's really good.
Oh, Zava?
Zava.
Okay, Zava leaves, and it's, like, irrelevant. And then the team is just themselves, and they're stinking it up. And then Ted Lasso comes up with, like, a new strategy, and
so you're saying Ted Lasso actually coaches?
Yes, it was shocking.
That's a twist.
So he just comes up with like a new strategy, and they start killing it. They're winning, they're killing it. So last night's episode was like the finale. They won the championship, and it was like really emotional. But then it turned out that like Manchester City also won, so that like kicked them out of the first spot. But whatever, they like won all their games, and it was like sweet. But of course, they didn't like end up making the next league. And Ted wants to leave. Ted needs to go back to Kansas City to be with his family. And he makes the decision, and like everybody supports him. Him and Beard go back. Beard actually gets off the plane because he's in love with Jane. And so he actually stays. Everything at the club stays the same except Ted leaves. Except, did you see yet that Nathan the Wonder Kid gets fired from
No.
West Ham. He gets fired because...
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see.
Rupert, like, takes him out for drinks and, like, brings him, like, a prostitute. But he has a girlfriend now. And he doesn't want to cheat on his girlfriend. So he leaves and he literally gets fired for, like, not fucking this girl. And then he's, like, depressed. And his girlfriend's trying to get him out of bed. And all he wants to do is go back to Richmond. And, like, they bring him back. That was, to me, the fatal fucking flaw in the show. They bring back that little shit. And I know that's the whole point of the show. It's, like, about forgiveness and kindness, yada, yada. But I couldn't. And, like, the last two episodes, he's, like, he's the towel guy again.
He doesn't become Ted's job?
No, Roy gets his job, which is fabulous.
Okay, that's better. I thought, like, Nate takes over for Ted. That would be so undeserving.
No, it was so upsetting. There were a few things that, like, the show tied up nicely. The first is that, like, Rebecca in the earlier season, did you see when they went to Amsterdam and she, like, spent the night with that guy?
No.
She drops Ted off at the airport and she runs into the guy and, like, this fortune teller had told her that she was gonna have a family and he has a son and like, I mean, he has a daughter. And it was like a nice ending, wrapped up for Rebecca nicely. She thought about selling the club since they were so valuable now that they were so good. It was worth $2 billion, but she actually sold 49% of it to the community. Like everybody like got a share. So like they all started, it was like really sweet. I liked that. She's like philanthropic queen. So some people wrapped up really nicely. Like Ted goes back and I think they like kind of, they don't say, but like Michelle is getting really annoyed with her new boyfriend. Like he's like so negative and like, I just don't think it's working. And then she's really happy when he gets home. So I think maybe there's a path forward for Ted like and his family to get back together, which is nice.
Oh, that's cute. Even though she like
is the worst
the entire time that we've ever watched a show.
But then some people wrapped up like not so nicely. Like I didn't appreciate them bringing Nathan back. I thought that was really not good. But by far the biggest gripe I had with the ending is, like, I kept waiting for Roy and Keeley to get back together.
Right,
and the last couple of episodes, he's, like, so clearly in love with her, and he's, like, really struggling. He's asking everyone for advice. And Jamie is still, like, really in love with Keeley, too. But Jamie and Roy are such good friends. They decide, like, you know what? We're both going to fight for her, but, like, we're still going to be friends. And Keeley wants neither of them. She just wants to, like, keep being a businesswoman, and she works with Rebecca to start, like, a female AFC Richmond. And... yeah.
But why can't she also have a boyfriend?
You know, the two are not mutually exclusive. I did not like that.
I literally, that makes me mad.
Wrong.
She's wrong for that.
I'm sorry. Honestly, even towards the end, obviously Roy is like the number one, but I was also like shipping her and Jamie too, because Jamie's really have this like, he fully grew up. He's a star player, but he's such a good teammate and he's a good guy.
No, and I could see that. But the problem with Roy and Keeley breaking up is that there was nothing wrong with their relationship. Like,
yeah, it was so random.
I don't even know why they broke up. So it's like, it's not like Jamie could provide her something. Like, Roy and Keeley were perfect.
Yeah. It was so upsetting. God,
that makes me madder than Nate.
Yeah, no, that was the worst part. She ended up with nobody. Why?
Why? Oh, my God. Okay, well, now I don't know if that makes me want to watch more or less. But thanks for the recap. I'm glad I know.
You're welcome. And I do think, like, it's good that it's ending.
Yeah, I think so, too. All good, like, things good must come to an end, Turdy Lou.
But I want to say one thing, one more thing. I just looked at my notes because I needed to remember. My biggest issue with the show is that not once in the final episode nor in the final season did Danny Rojas say football is life. Why?
Maybe, like, it was trademarked and they were going to get sued.
Danny Rojas is far and away the best character. He gets, like, an even bigger role. All the characters that you, like, know and love, like Trent Crim, his book comes out. You know he's writing a book on the team?
Yes.
It's called The Richmond Way. All the characters that, like, you slowly start to get to know and really like Danny Rojas, like Sam. And I thought maybe Sam and Rebecca were going to end up together, but they didn't. Trent Crim, they all get, like, happy endings. It's nice. But, like, Danny Rojas is the light of my life, and I don't know why he didn't say football is life.
That's so funny that he has made such an impact on you.
Oh, he's part of the reason me and Ben, like, really loved the show when we first started it.
Oh, that's so sweet.
He was so sweet and so funny and so cute and so nice. Football is life.
Nice. He didn't make that much of an impact on me.
There's a scene in the final episode where, like, they get a penalty kick. They're down by one and Jamie's, like, going to take it, but he gives the ball to Danny Rojas. He's like, you got this, ma'am. And I thought, I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to literally kick it and say, football is life. And he didn't.
That's weird.
Yeah. What happened to football is life?
I don't know. Maybe you could find, like, a forum of other people upset about it.
I'll look into it. So that's your Ted Lasso recap.
Yes. And now it's time for Vanderpump Rules recap.
So I want to say, I'm really, like, genuinely, like, I'm trying not to be a hater because, like, this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. But the fact that we got through two entire whole episodes without Raquel joining the group, like, one is not enough. We didn't need two with Sheena. We needed two with Raquel.
We got like one and a half of each because we didn't get like
she sat down at 9:59 and they
but we got trailer Raquel. We got trailer Raquel and Tom. We got them outside of the trailer. Like half doesn't of the count. Episode was lunch.
It doesn't count.
I know. I agree, but like you also have to remember, like, it's still Bravo. And so even though they didn't like make us wait till the third episode to talk about Scandoval, like they are going to tease the fuck out of everything make us pay.
They're so annoying. Like, at their core.
I was annoyed. Like, when I was enjoying the episode, I really was enjoying Sheena. And I wasn't, dying for her to leave or anything. But then when Raquel comes out and the episode ends, hadn't realized what time it was. And I was like, oh, that's fucking annoying.
No, Sheena was, like, giving her platinum vinyl to Andy at 9:43. And then they went to a commercial break. And then they went to Raquel's one-on-one. I was like, oh, she's literally not sitting until 9:59. Me and Ben was, like, so annoyed.
That snuck up on me. I didn't realize.
I was acutely aware of the time because I'm like, I need this bitch to sit down.
Yeah.
A peak moment was Ariana telling Andy that Raquel and Tom are not sitting next to each other. Like, I kind of loved that. And he listened.
Because it is actually odd that they didn't sit next to each other. Like, it would have been visually, like, crazy to see her in between the Toms.
Yeah.
But that's also so fucking disrespectful to Ariana. And, like, if we're all Team Ariana, then, like, we can't put production ahead of her feelings.
No, it's very true. I have like kind of an unpopular opinion because I know a lot of people are like confused and annoyed that like Lisa Vanderpump is taking Tom Sandoval's side, and I don't think she is. I just think she's like trying to get him like the space to speak because nobody will let him speak. And I actually am appreciative that she's doing that because this whole thing where like every time Tom says something, like eight people just descend and he doesn't actually finish his sentence. Like, I want to hear what this monster has to say. Like, I'm curious. I actually am appreciative Lisa attempting to like regulate this conversation.
I agree. Like, it's not productive if everyone jumps down his throat. And even when he's saying something and everyone like immediately just calls him out, like, oh, will you fuck Raquel? And it's like, no, we all know that. So like, we're all listening to whatever he's saying with that in mind. Yeah. Like, so let him bury himself. Like, we don't need, like, and just, I want to hear what this actual sociopath has to say for himself and like hear how he rationalizes certain things and how he can judge and critique others. Because if it was a normal human being sitting there, they would just shut the fuck up. Right. Only speak when spoken to
try and keep
their head down. But I want to hear him pop off at Lala about absolutely nothing to do with him because it makes him look even stupider because we all know what he did.
No, and like he was like saying stuff that was like kind of interesting, but nobody could hear him because everybody was screaming. Like when he said Lala pulled her IUD out the second Stassi got pregnant, what does that mean?
I have no idea.
Please elaborate, sociopath, but nobody heard him.
Yeah.
They heard him.
Yeah, but like he has just no credibility. And also his credibility is so shot, like whether he's telling the truth or he's telling a lie, like we can just call it a lie.
Of course. No. And that's the thing with the restraining order. Mm-hmm. He like swore that he heard her say, I punched that bitch in the face. And Ariana is just like protecting her friend as she should. And maybe she's lying because of the legal case. Or Tom is lying. Honestly, to me, I don't care whether Sheena punched Raquel. Like,
yeah, no, but it matters to them.
And it matters to Sheena in this moment because in this moment, like 2 days later, she has to go to court, and I'm sure she's actually really scared.
Yeah, no, it matters to them. But like, yeah, I don't care whether or not, like, morally, if Sheena technically punched her, and also like we saw what it amounted to on Raquel's face. So like, I think we can all envision what it was. But if you want to call that a punch, a slap, or a push, like that's just. It makes a difference legally, but it doesn't make a difference in terms of, like, what
our
happened.
Brains.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel like there were times when it's, like, Ariana's obviously the...
victim.
She's also the moral one in the relationship. And I feel like since Tom has lied so much and he has literally no credibility and you can just write off everything that he's saying as a lie, like, it actually leaves Ariana space to, like, also lie because no one is going to believe him.
Improvise.
Yeah, no, and it's like, I literally don't care if she's lying. Like, she didn't tell the big lie for 8 months that you did, so who gives a shit?
Katie and Tom were, like, absent from this reunion.
Well, because she buried him in one breath, and it was
oh my God, by the way,
most beautiful thing I ever saw.
Seriously? I don't think I've ever seen somebody clap back at somebody so seamlessly And so, like, funny. You're friends with everybody. You're a serial killer's wet dream.
No, and she was like, you're going to get yourself chopped up if you keep up this behavior. And it's so true. He's so trusting. Everyone's his friend. Brilliant. He prioritizes everyone over his loyal wife of 8 years. Like, brilliant. No, yeah, go trust.
Brilliant. But I have to say, like, Tom, like, being, like, kitschy, like, I'm taking a Xanax. Like, shut up. Like, I find him so infuriatingly stupid. I don't think anything he does is funny. Like, he's not cute to me anymore. And these little, like, oh, look, I brought a prop. Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up.
At least he is pretty much shutting up.
Yeah, it's so true. Because he's smart. He's like, I know I'm in trouble, so I'm literally not going to speak up. I'm not speaking unless spoken to, because I don't want to, like, cross my wires. I don't want to say something that contradicts something else I said.
And he's also not a psychopath like Sandoval. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm in trouble. I'm going to apologize and be small and be very...
Be small.
Like, what's the word? With a C.
Curt?
No, like, con... I don't know. It'll come to me when this episode's over.
No, he's just, he has to be weak.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And just take it. Tom's, like, fighting back, and it's like, what are you trying to prove, that Ariana was worthy of being cheated on by her best friend?
Right.
Her, like, in what world are we ever going to get to that conclusion? But the fact that he thinks that that is somewhere that we might get to, and that's where he's trying to bring us.
Yeah.
Is... beyond words.
Right, like, I really, like, I don't care, like, how bad things were in your relationship. Like, it all that context, all that color he wants means nothing.
No, like, we'll never, ever justify what he did, ever.
No, ever. We don't care.
He doesn't get that.
No, he doesn't. He's really trying to paint a picture as, like, he was this, like, forlorn boyfriend who tried and tried, and he got no intimacy and no connection, so he fell into the arms of another vagina. Like, we don't care.
Yeah, we literally just, okay, so all those things are true, break up with her.
When they, like, went into, like, Lala's Randall thing, like, I so don't care. It's, like, so much has happened since then. Like, I literally forgot about Randall. And, like, of course, I feel for Lala, and I know she's been through a lot, but in terms of, like, the storyline, every time they strayed away from Raquel, I was like, come on.
Oh, I felt the opposite. I kind of needed a breather, and I also felt like every other storyline does segue back to Scandoval anyway, because it involves everyone, so I was okay to, like, deviate for a second. The only thing about Lala and Randall is, like, I think a lot of it is legal. So when she talks about these, like, horrible things, he's a horrible person, like, I think we have maybe 10% of an idea of what she's talking about. And it's frustrating that we can't know more, but I understand that we can't. So it's, I did, that's why it was, like, literally a 90-second conversation.
Yeah, it was really quick. I liked seeing Allie. I actually really like Allie.
I really like Allie, too. And as we said, like, I just hope James can keep her. I think she's really smart. And you can tell that she is, like, a fun, cool girl because Katie and Lala really like her.
Yeah.
I think she's a great gal.
I think she is, too. And I really hope the best for them and their relationship. Like, really, I'm not even joking.
Yeah, but at this point, they've been together over a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, could be good.
I do think there's, like, a part of her that, like, sought out being on the show, which I don't think is a bad thing, honestly. Like, she was, like, you know, she wanted to be an entertainment journalist before, like, and she watched Vanderpump Rules. Like, I think part of her is into James for what he provides.
Agreed. But if that were the case, she would have made a bigger splash on this season.
That's true.
And been, like, thirstier and just, like, getting into fights and starting and by
the way,
stuff.
She did make a splash with the whole Abby thing, but I don't even think she knew what she was stepping in.
No, and she didn't even say that to Katie on camera.
Yeah, so true.
Like, I think that actions speak louder than previous words, and she just was James's girlfriend.
It's also really interesting how, like, after they wrapped filming, this Raquel and Tom stuff, like, didn't die down, and there were all these conversations being had, like, Sheena took Ariana to lunch and was like, by the way, like, I'm, like, quaking.
No, that was crazy that, like, people had suspicions. Like, when this came out for us, we were...
What?
I couldn't fathom anything so crazy. Yeah. And I felt like that the cast felt that way, too. But come to find out, like, Lala, was fully onto them. Katie, too, probably. Yeah. Sheena had enough suspicion to take it to Ariana. Like, Ariana knew that this was a
thing people thought.
That was the craziest thing to me.
Yeah, agreed.
But I guess how could you not know that? It's not like they were even hiding it that well.
No, they were being so dumb. And, like, that's what Andy was saying. Like, I can't believe – I forget who he said this to. Maybe Raquel in the one-on-one. Like, how now, watching the season back, like, you guys were not even trying. And I actually thought what Raquel said in her one-on-one was actually interesting, that, like, her and Tom devised a plan. Like, Tom coached her on what to say. And then when Ariana did just call her and was like, Tom's not going to tell me anything. Like, if you ever even for 1 second cared about me, tell me everything. And she did.
Yeah.
I feel of the two, Raquel is more remorseful, even though it appears like she doesn't cry.
She has a weird way.
But she's a weird girl.
Yeah, the way that she handles or processes or shows emotions is not how people would expect her to be acting right now. But I also feel like sometimes when she's asked a question, like, I feel like when she's asked a question, she tells the truthful answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, so Ariana called her and, like, she gave all the truths. Like, I don't think she, like, sits there and lies to your face, but obviously she had this whole second life going on that no one knew about. But if at any time someone asks, no, I guess Sheena did ask her.
Yeah, Sheena did.
Sorry. Sheena did ask her and she lied straight to her face. I take it back.
That's the thing. It's like, now I have so many questions. They're all, we've gotten not one answer about Raquel. To me, she's such a mystery. And I think after part two, we should have known a little bit more.
Yeah. And about, like, where they stood in their relationship.
Right. Like, what is going on with them? Like, that scene when he said during lunch, I loved that they were filming during lunch. These people did not get 5 minutes off during this day. When they were talking to each other in the trailer, it was very platonic. It was, they were giving us nothing. And then they wanted to be off camera either, maybe so they could, like, you know, console one another and, like, come up with a game plan, maybe even kiss. I don't know. And production wouldn't give that to them, which I lived for. We don't know anything about, like, where these two stand, especially, like, now, even in real life. Like, there was the report that they had broken up, but nobody knows if that's true. Apparently, someone said on a podcast, like, yesterday or the day before, that after Raquel heard that Ariana, you know, told on Watch What Happens Live that she was sending Tom letters to the house, Raquel sent another letter to the house addressed to Ariana with a lightning bolt on it.
What is this? A Da Vinci Code?
Literally.
I'm trying to stay in, like, the truthful, factual, non-rumor-based sphere. It's hard because then also things come from the rumor-based sphere that turn out to be true. And it's like, oh, maybe I should have been paying attention the whole time. But, like, I can't process all of these little things that may or may not be true.
So everybody's, like, talking about this bombshell. And when I saw the preview for part three, they said you have to wait till the last 5 minutes. Like, something happens. Like, everyone says, like, Raquel is pregnant, like, all this stuff. I thought last night when Sheena was wrapping up, I thought she was actually going to tell us she's pregnant. I was like, oh, that's so sweet.
Oh, I thought maybe what was actually surprising was that Raquel dropped the restraining order.
Yeah, yeah. But what do you think this bombshell is? People said that the bombshell was that Lisa Vanderpump knew the whole time. Lisa Vanderpump debunked that on Twitter a couple of
days ago.
There's
no way she knew the whole time.
No.
There's no way.
What could it be? And it's really being kept under wraps.
I just think it's going to be disappointing.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out next week.
We'll find out next week. That's, like, after that, like, Scandoval's over. Like,
yeah, but after that, then everyone can do more interviews and stuff and, like, talk about what's going on now. And I think it'll be, like, another wave of Scandoval information, because as much as all the cast members are talking about it and doing their podcasts and other people's podcasts, like, they've had to refrain from saying some stuff. But I think once the reunion's truly over, like, we'll get more.
Yeah, they're limited right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's your show. Tomorrow is Friday. I just wanted everyone to know that. And we will be doing audio only again. So just stay with us. Next week is Up in the Air. But Jackson Claude audio only is so good enough for me.
Truly.
I love you dearly.
Love you dearly. And we'll see you tomorrow for the big day of the fry.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, Castbox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us at Toast, leave a 5-star review about a beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Love ya. Bye.